Well, Father, we serve you and we acknowledge and we say, you are a great God. You're the only God and you are our Father. And we say to you tonight, Abba, Father, our Daddy. Father, we bless you, honor you, reverence you tonight. Father, thank you. We are your sheep. This is your pasture. And so we say, Father God, feed your people. Father, we thank you for a word come from heaven tonight. We thank you for a word that shall speak unto the hearts of the people. We thank you that your word never fails to accomplish the purpose for which you send it. Father, your word is so powerful. Your word is endued with power. Your word is full of the anointing. Your word is just dripping with the anointing, waiting for somebody to believe tonight. Father, the word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One day heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Your word shall remain forever. So, Father, we thank you for the power of your word tonight. Speak to your people tonight. Speak to every person listening. Every person listening by a live stream or listening through some other venue, however they're hearing this message. Speak to every ear. Speak to every person in this service, Father, as only you can do it. Speak through the power of your word. Father, confirm, strengthen, encourage, straighten out whatever is wrong with our thinking through your word tonight. Father God, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's the great helper on tonight. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Where would we be without the Holy Ghost? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost who lives on the inside of us. Thank you, Father. The Spirit of Truth. Thank you, Father. He's right there on the inside tonight. He's our great helper. He's our comforter, our counselor. He's our guide. Oh, Father, thank you that he leads us tonight into all truth. So we thank you for meeting every need in the house tonight. Every need represented by everyone listening to this message. We thank you. We thank you for unction and utterance in the name of Jesus. And of course, Father, we'll give you just all of the glory for everything that's said and done in our midst. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Praise God. Well, saints of God, you can have your seat if you get your Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You can wait for me there at verses 14 and 16. Praise God. Tonight we're speaking on this subject, train your spirit to follow the inward witness. You say, Brother Bill, the last time you spoke, I think that was your title. It was. You'd be exactly right. You say, now, brother, I was here before that sermon and you came and you spoke and that seemed to be your title that night, too. You're exactly right. It was my title then. You say, but I was here back in November the 11th. You remember that was a Wednesday night, November the 11th. You spoke on the same topic, train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Now, you're exactly right. I spoke on it then, too. I spoke first on this subject on the 11th of November. And on the 11th, we gave you three principles that night. Principle one, faith begins where the will of God is known. And I gave you a boatload of scripture. We don't have time tonight to go back and go over all that. That message, if you want to see it, you can see it online or in the bookstore, you can get it. But faith begins where the will of God is known. We gave you that principle. Secondly, we gave you the principle the Holy Spirit is inside you to lead and guide you. He's inside you to lead and guide you. Then we gave you a boatload of scripture on that. And then principle three, we shared that night on the 11th of November, you can train your spirit to follow the inward witness. That was the third thing we talked about that night. Gave you a boatload of scripture on that. Then the following Sunday night, that was November the 15th, we spoke again. The Lord directed us to speak again on this topic. On November the 15th, that was Sunday night. And so we gave three more principles and we spoke around those principles. The fourth principle then was don't override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. We gave you scripture on that. And then the fifth principle we spoke about on the 15th, if you miss it, repent and go back to following the inward witness. If you miss it, just repent, go right back to following the inward witness. And then principle number six we gave you on the 15th of November. Principle number six, the inward witness and the word will always agree. If you get something from God, but it doesn't line up with the word, you didn't get that from God. We can always trust the word. Amen. The word is inerrant. The word is God speaking directly, personally to you. Can you say amen to that? And so the word and the spirit always agree. If you had a dream or something, just make sure it lines up with the word. If it don't line up with the word, let it go. The word is the litmus test, if you want to say it that way, right? We gave you that principle six. The inward witness and the word will always agree. And then on December the 6th, that was a Sunday night, and we came back and spoke on this topic again. We gave you the seventh principle then. It was to learn to wait upon the timing of the Lord. His will and his timing are like railroad tracks. And to really follow him correctly, you have to line up on both those tracks. You have to know his will, and you also have to know his timing. Both those things critically important. And so we gave you a bucket of scripture on that. And then principle eight, if you will, we gave you then was, if it's not quite, it's not right. And we talked about following the inward witness or prompting or nudging or leading, whatever you want to call it there. We talked about how to follow that. And we gave you plenty of scriptural examples of that. And so we don't have time to go back through those scriptures. It took me long enough just to review what we said. And so tonight we're speaking on seven ways to train your spirit to be more sensitive to the inward witness. Our title is Train Your Spirit to Follow the Inward Witness, just like it's been all of the other three previous times. But more specifically tonight, if I had a subtitle, it'd be this: Seven Ways to Train Your Spirit to Be More Sensitive to the Inward Witness. Now you say, Brother Bill, why do you keep talking about this subject? Well, you know, I keep praying and asking the Lord what to speak on, and he keeps directing me through the inward witness to speak on this subject. Well, he's the head of the church, amen. How many know he's the Lord, he's the head of the church, he's the chief shepherd, amen. And so if he directs us to speak along these lines, then there's something that he wants the people to get. And waiting in prayer over on him, praying in the spirit, asking the Lord what to talk about tonight. This very title, this subject came back up. And so the Lord directed us this way. And so this is why we're speaking along these lines. I remember this would have been prior to the year 2000, and I was embroiled in a turmoil at work. I wasn't a senior manager. This would have been, I don't know, 90, I'd say 95, 96, 1995 or 1996, right in there. I was a middle manager at FedEx. I wasn't a senior manager then, and I was embroiled in a controversy at work because I had some new peers, new managers, and they did things a different way. They came from different parts of the country. Nothing wrong with those parts of the country, obviously, but they came here and they did things a different way, and some of their business practices were kind of shady, and they wanted me to participate in those shady business practices, and I wasn't willing to do that. I'd learned a long time ago just operate by integrity and just treat people right, give them what they need to do their job, and then get out of the way and let them do their job, and people just, you know, they'll do a great job for you that way. But because I wouldn't go along with some really just some things that would have ruined my character if I participated in them. So I refused to do that. And these new people on the management team didn't like it. They were giving me a hard time, and they were trying to get me to leave and transfer and go somewhere else. And I'll never forget that night. My wife and I, we were fasting and praying. We had periods of time when we would just skip a meal and spend the rest of that evening praying, and then early in the morning praying. So this was one of those times when we were just, when I say fasting, we were skipping one meal and we were praying that night and then that morning. As I left work, I looked in my mail slot and someone had left a job change application in my mail slot. And it really made me angry because it was left there anonymously. And essentially it was someone saying, there is an open job, your same level on the other side of Tulsa. And essentially somebody was encouraging me to go apply for that, to leave and go apply for that. And that made me mad, stubborn, obstinate. I came home with a bad attitude. Anybody ever had a bad attitude? Okay, I got the right crowd. I came home with a bad attitude. It made me mad. I thought, you know, at least someone could come to me, you know, man to man, talk to me face to face. But anyway, it made me mad and I had a bad attitude. And I arrived home where we were going to be. I just needed to change my clothes and we're going to be fasting and praying. I never forget what happened that night. And my wife said, what's that paper you got in your hand? I said, oh, somebody's trying to get me to leave work and I'm not going nowhere. And she said, well, we're praying. We're fasting and praying. Maybe we ought to pray about that. I said, don't need to pray about it. With my obstinance. Don't need to pray about it. She said, you sure? I said, I'm sure. I ain't praying about nothing because I ain't going nowhere. I said, they're not running me out. They ain't running me off. I know my rights. I know all. I'm, human resources is going to back me up 100%. I know I'm not doing. She said, she said, you should. I said, well, I'm not afraid to pray about it. I'm sure the Lord's going to tell me, don't go anywhere. I said, let me go change my clothes. I'll be right back out here and we'll begin there. So I went, changed my clothes and came back out there. And then I apologized for my attitude and I had that piece of paper in my hand. And I said, you want to start with this? She said, let's just start with that. I had that piece of paper in my hand. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, do you want me to transfer to this location? Do you want me to leave where I currently am and transfer to this location? And I'm telling you, just like somebody snapped their finger down in my spirit, I didn't hear a voice. I had a prompting. I just down in my gut. And peace just dropped in my instantly. I knew what God was saying. Yes, go. But that went against the grain of everything in my human will. That went, my head was going tilt. My head was going, no, God, you can't mean that. But down here in my gut, in my belly, I had the peace of God saying, get out of there. And against my will, against my head, I filled out that job change application and they hired me right away and they didn't even interview me. They looked at my experience and they just hired me and they gave me $2,500 just because of my experience. They didn't have experienced managers at the other station. Anyway, it just worked out. It just worked out just great. 6 months later, the company had gotten so many complaints from the station that I left that they said, we've gotten so many complaints for so long, we can't salvage the management team. We think that whole management team needs to be fired. And they fired every man. They came in there, fired every manager from the station I had been at. But Brother Bill was safely over at this other station because God, the Holy Spirit, could see ahead what was coming. Oh, I wish I had an amen in here. And he could see what was going to happen in just a few days' time. And he got me up out of there. Against my will. It wasn't me. I would have stayed. My will was fighting. I'm going to stay. No, but I knew enough. You better obey that. You better obey that. God talking to somebody in here already. You better obey that. Said you better obey it. And so God got me out of there and they fired all of them. I went on within a year. I got promoted and was a senior manager. And the Lord was blessing. Salary benefit package, six figures. Just the Lord blessed me. And somebody asked me, they said, man, as a senior manager, they said, you know, we watched you. And we could tell they were trying to get to you because they were asking us questions, trying to get to you, that other management team that got fired. And somebody said to me, a Christian brother, he said, Bill, how did you know to get out of there? How did you know? He said, you got out at just the right time, just before the company swept in there and cut them all off. You got out just the right time. And then no sooner than you got out, you were gone for about a year, the Lord brought you back and you're the senior manager. How did you know? And I said, I didn't know. I'm not that smart. I wouldn't even pretend to be that smart. I had no idea. I told that brother privately, I said, the Holy Ghost witnessed something on the inside of me, down in my belly, to get out of there when I was fighting against it in my head. Oh, it pays. It pays. We're talking about seven ways to train your spirit to be more sensitive to the inward witness. The first one is to walk in love. You'll never be sensitive to the inward witness if you don't walk in love. Now, we gave you three, I guess they'd be our keynote scriptures. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man, not the mind of man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Or searching, some versions say, searching his innermost being. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We gave you Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. All who are being led by the spirit of God. That's God's will for you and I as believers, to be led by the spirit. All who are being led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And then we gave you Romans 8:16, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. You notice it didn't say he bears witness with our mind. It said he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And so we are to be led. So we gave you, each time we've given you those three scriptures. So I thought, let me give you those scriptures again. Each time we've given you a boatload of other scriptures, but we've always given you those, I call those our keynote scriptures. Walk in love, number one. Seven ways to train your spirit to be more sensitive to the inward witness. Number one, you're going to have to walk in love. Every step out of love is a step into sin. And you see, because God is love, we're going to be resisting him if we get out of love. And listen, the Bible says love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not rude. Love doesn't seek its own way. Love doesn't keep score. When we walk in love, then we're going to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So many times, God the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, but we just don't realize that he has said something. Anybody know what I'm talking about, or is it just Brother Bill? In our scripture, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, that Romans 8:14, that I gave you, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That word led, it comes from a Greek word. And so reading in the book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek, Rick Renner's book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek, reading in that book, Rick Renner said this about that word led, that it comes from a Greek word, A-G-O. A-G-O. And that word means to lead. In the same way that if you took a rope and you put a rope around your dog or something, if you put a rope around your dog's neck and then you pulled on the rope and then the dog willingly followed your lead, that's what that word means. All who are being led by the Holy Ghost. All who are being led by the Spirit of God. In other words, we are to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We are not supposed to be resisting him. Have you ever seen an animal that you put the leash or something on the animal and then it just digs in its heels and it just resists? Anybody ever seen that? Well, sometimes we act like that as believers. I remember one time, I had a big old police trained canine German Shepherd when I was a kid. His name was Toto, like the little dog on the Wizard of Oz. He was a big, Toto was a big, huge German Shepherd. And Toto, oh man, what a dog, what a great dog. And I had a paper route, and I had one of those paper sacks, where I had all my papers in it folded. I folded all my papers, had them in that sack. And one day I got this great idea. Well, it seemed like a great idea at the time. And I thought, instead, I think something was wrong with my bike and I was having to walk my paper out. And I thought, instead of walking my paper out, I'm gonna get Toto and I'm gonna lead Toto, but then I'm gonna have him pull me and he'll pull me on the sidewalks. And while he's pulling me with the rope, I'll just throw papers as I get to the houses. It seemed like an ingenious idea at the time. And so I got the rope onto the leash on Toto, and I said, Toto, go. And he took off, and I took off, and it was great, man. We were getting it down. We were skating. And all of a sudden, I have metal skates, I'm on the sidewalk skating, and man, we're picking up speed. And then Toto must have smelled another dog or something, because it had just rained. I remember it had just rained, so the grass was wet, the ground was wet. And Toto made a beeline off of the designated path. We were supposed to be on the sidewalk, metal skates now, and we were moving. And Toto, he just took off on a diagonal line across a lawn. And of course, when my metal skates hit that lawn, do you know what happened to me? Have you ever heard of the word face plant? Just before my face hit the ground, my mind said, this can't be good. Oh, man. I took Toto back home and walked the route that day. That wasn't a very good idea. We're supposed to let the Holy Ghost lead us without resisting him. But when he tries to lead you and I, when he tries to lead us, if we resist him, well, he's a perfect gentleman. He won't make you and I do anything. Gentleness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So when we pull back, he'll let us pull back. And he'll stop leading us if we resist him. But let me tell you this, my brother and sister, we are right on the cusp of a brand new year. The year 2021 is staring down our throats. And the year is filled with opportunity for you and I. And God, He's got good things in store. And the future, your future is bright. But let me tell you this, these things don't happen automatically. We have to be sensitive to the Lord. And one of the things that is connected to our great year is our ability to sense and to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because when we obey Him, we'll make good decisions. We'll make good decisions. And see, He wants to lead us on the inside. And see, the more sensitive we become to Him, somebody said, well, He'll lead us in all the great big issues or just the big things in life. Yes, He will. He'll lead you in every big issue. But He'll lead you in the small issues. He'll lead us even in the small issues. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And when I send the Holy Spirit, He's going to be on the inside of you. I said to you before in the previous three messages, God has always led His people. In Exodus, He led them with a cloud, a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire. God led His people. All they had to do was look up. And when the cloud and the pillar moved, they moved. And they knew the leading of the Lord that way. When that stopped, they stopped. Must have been awesome. But it was a leading. It was leading from the outside in. It was a leading that came from the outside in. God led them. I told you Proverbs 16:33. God led them where they had the Urim and the Thummim, and where the priest would throw the Urim and the Thummim, or draw lots from the Urim and the Thummim, and then they would say, God, what's your choice? What's your choice here? I showed you previously in Acts chapter 1 at verse 23 through 26, where they are choosing someone to replace Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed Jesus. And in the upper room, part of their business was to replace Judas. And they came up with two names, one man Justice, and one man known as Justice, another name Matthias. And they couldn't tell, there must not have been any daylight in qualification between the two of them. They got Justice on the one hand, they got Matthias on the other hand. They don't know who to choose. They don't know who to choose. Which, Lord, and they said in Acts 1, verses 23 through 26, they said, Lord, show us which of these two that you choose. We don't know which one. And then they drew lots. They drew lots to determine who it was. And it is the very last time you see the leading of the Lord in the New Testament like that. Because chapter 2, the Holy Ghost fell. And God began to lead His people. Hebrews 8:6 says that God has a better covenant established upon better promises. And let me tell you, if they had something awesome where they could look up there like that, see the pillar of cloud and fire and draw the lots and be led, well, that must have been awesome. But it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing compared to what you and I have. We have God, the Holy Ghost, living, the greater one. Hey, the greater one. He's on the inside of you. And He's just waiting to lead you. He's just waiting to lead you. And sometimes he's a leading, but we're not doing as good a job listening. Now, I said something then, but you couldn't hear what I said. I was saying something, but you didn't hear what I said. And now, you know, the time for it has ended, so don't nobody come down here. You say, what did you say? I said, if you come down here, anybody come down here right now, I'll give you $100. It's all over now. Nobody came, so no hundred. But, okay, what's the point? Sometimes it's like that. God is speaking, but we're not sensitive enough to know what He's saying. We're saying, God, speak to me, God, speak to me, God, speak to me, God, speak to me. And God is saying, yield to me. Son, yield to me. Daughter, yield to me. Because the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman. And sometimes His leadings, His promptings, sometimes it's gentle. It's gentle. Let's go back to our sermon here. Listen, walk in love. You're going to have to walk in love. Listen, Mark 11, 25 and 26. We're always quoting Mark 11, 22 through 24. But we better start quoting 25 and 26. And thank God for Mark 11, 22 through 24. Thank God for it. But 25, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Oh, man. To walk in love, you have to walk in forgiveness. To walk in forgiveness, you have to forget about things that people have done to you. You have to be the bigger person. You have to let it go. You have to choose not to think about certain things, even though what may have befell you may not have been right. Colossians 3:13, it says we are to forgive just like Jesus forgave. We're to forgive just like Jesus forgave. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone, just like Jesus forgave, so must you forgive. Oh my. You know how Jesus forgave? He forgave before the offender ever asked for it. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 60, Stephen forgave before the people stoning him even asked for forgiveness. They weren't asking for any forgiveness. They stoned him without any repentance, and Stephen said, Father, forgive them. You and I are called to that same level of forgiveness. We are called to forgive even before those who hurt us. I wish I had an amen in here. Even before those who hurt us repent. Walk in love. Oh man, let's move on. Two, keep a clear conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19-20. 1 Timothy 1:19-20. It says, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. If we don't keep a clear conscience, we're going to suffer shipwreck with our faith. Our faith is not going to work right. We've got to keep a clear conscience. And that means when our conscience bothers us, when we've done something to offend someone, or whatever it is, if we've offended someone, or a word or action, or sometimes it's sins of omission, things we omitted to do that we should have done, and sometimes it's sins of commission, things we did we had no business doing. Whatever it is, when our conscience bothers us, oh man, that's the time to get rid of. That's the time when we need to get rid of. We need to get right. We need to repent and do it quickly. Oh man. In Acts 23, verse 1, Paul said, I've lived my life up until this very moment with a clear conscience. Didn't he approve the murder of Stephen? How could that man have a clear conscience? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. There's nothing that you or I have done that the blood of Jesus can't wipe away. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, don't be letting the enemy condemn you when the blood has already wiped it away. Keep a clear conscience. We could go on. I could give you, we just don't have the time. 1 Samuel 24:5. But keep a clear conscience. Number two. Number three, listen, double up on your word time. Double up on your word time. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means let it abundantly dwell in you. That means let the word overflow in you. That means get so much word in you that it begins to come out of you. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, the word comes out. When somebody don't say something right to you at work, the word comes out. I said amen. Double up on your word time. Colossians 3:16. Ephesians 5:18, that whole idea of being filled with the Spirit. Listen, being filled with the Word, it carries. In Colossians, it carries that same idea. Be so filled with the Word. Be so filled with the Word that you start to yield to it. You get so full of the Word, you start yielding to it. Like a drunk person gets so full of alcohol, they start yielding to that. And when they really want to get blitzed, you know what they say? They go to the bartender and say, give me a double. What's your point again, preacher? Double up on your word time. Give me a double of that scripture. Listen, number one, walk in love. Number two, keep a clear conscience. Number three, double up on your word time. Number four, double up on your worship time. Ephesians 5:18-21, it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. As we enter into worship, man, things will bubble up on the inside of us. It says the same thing over in the end of Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Really, in Colossians 3:16, where it says teaching and admonishing one another, it also means this, teaching and admonishing yourself. So the idea of Scripture is saying, teach and admonish and encourage yourself as well as others. Ooh, that's good. So walk in love. Number two, keep a clear conscience. Number three, double up on your word time. Number four, double up on your worship time. What are these things doing? They're going to make you more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about. Number five, obey God quickly. You can write this down. Genesis 22, those first three verses of Genesis 22, after God told Abraham, take your only son and take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham got up early the next day to obey God. And you know the story. God said, don't touch that lad. I got a ram in the bush for you. Don't touch that lad. I just wanted you to obey me, Abraham. He got up early the next morning. First thing in the morning, obey God. Obey God quickly. Obey him quickly. Number six, control your appetite. Control your appetite. You say, what does that have to do with anything? I'm not talking about your body shape. I'm not talking about your body size. I'm not talking about what you look like. We all come in different shapes and sizes, my brother and sister. What I'm talking about is your appetite. There's hardly anything stronger in our flesh than our appetite. And when we learn how to subdue our appetite, even a little bit, what happens is we can be more sensitive. If we're suppressing the flesh, the appetite, we can be more sensitive to the Spirit. And sometimes just skipping a meal, just cutting out a meal or just cutting back a little bit will make you more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Brother Hagin has a great book on fasting. He said, be careful about fasting more than 3 days because you can have hallucinations and things of that nature. Be sure God told you more than 3 days if you do that. But he talked about living a fasted life, which was better. But sometimes we just need to cut back a little bit. And this is the time of year when we're probably all in the same boat. We've been eating, you know, holiday foods. And anybody like me, you know, you're like, oh, man, the holiday is over. It's time to get back to the routine. But control your appetite. Scripture, sure. John 4:31-34. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. They asked Jesus, come on, Rabbi, eat, eat. He said, I've already got meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of my Father. He wasn't worried about natural food. He was talking about spiritual food. Over in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, listen, I buffet my body, or I discipline my body, so that after I've preached to others, I won't be disqualified. He said, I'm not going to let my body get control of me. I take control of my body. What's he talking about? Crucifying the flesh. What happens when we crucify the flesh? Well, then we become more sensitive to the Spirit. When we roll back the emphasis of the flesh, now we can be more sensitive to the gentle leading of the Holy Spirit. Number seven, spend extra time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend extra time praying in the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, 2 through 4, look, they were all filled with the Spirit. They all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. So Acts chapter 2, certainly. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Oh, man, whoever is praying in the Spirit, they're not talking to a man, they're talking to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Howbeit in the Spirit, they speak mysteries. The word mysteries means answers. When we start speaking in the Spirit, we start speaking out our own answer. You say, but my mind doesn't always understand that. James chapter 3 said, no man can tame the tongue. The tongue is full of deadly poison. The tongue sets the whole course of our life on fire. No man can tame the tongue. And it is true. The word is true in James 3. No man can tame the tongue. But I'll tell you who can tame it. The Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost can tame our tongue. And when we yield our tongue, when we speak in other tongues, when we yield ourselves over in that area, oh, it makes us more sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. It makes us more sensitive. And so, walking in love, keeping a clear conscience, doubling up on your word time, doubling up on your worship time, obeying God quickly, controlling your appetite, and spending extra time praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 said, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in the Holy Spirit. So, my brother and sister, we're upon a brand new year, and God's got so many good things for you, but he's counting on you and I to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit here. It's not a voice. God does have a voice, and he can speak that way, but he's promised to speak to us by the leading, by the inward witness. If you go seeking a voice, the enemy is going to trick you. People go looking for a voice. The enemy is in the realm of the spirit, and he will trick you. He will give you a false voice. God can speak that way. He does speak that way. But primarily, he's told us, he wants to lead us by the inward witness. It's a prompting. It's a nudging. It's an intuition. It's an inner knowing. In Acts 27:10, when Paul got on that coastal freighter with 276 people, he got on board that ship and said, I perceive there's going to be a great accident. There's going to be loss of life. There's going to be loss of... How did he know? How did he know? He knew it on the inside. He got it on the inside. Acts 15:22, 25, 28, 34. It seemed right. It seemed good on the inside. Follow the inward leading, and God's going to lead you into a blessed new year. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share with your people what you've given us for tonight. And Father, we've endeavored to just say what you told us to say. And so now we leave the word with the people, and we know that the good Holy Ghost will help each person to interpret this message in the way that they need it the most. Father, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for his leading and guiding. Oh, thank you. And Father, where someone has missed it, we've all missed it. Father, we just repent where we've missed it. Ask you to forgive us. We endeavor to follow you more closely now. Oh, Father God. And where those you've spoken to someone, you've said something to someone, but they weren't listening close enough. Oh, Father, now speak to them again. You've got their attention, Father God. Go on and speak to them. Lead them. Guide them. Show them what to do. And Father, we'll be so quick to obey you, so quick to thank you, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friend, I leave the word with you tonight. I'm so glad you came to church. I pray you'll take this word. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in the way that you need it most. We're so glad you're here. We want you to, when you see Pastor and Mrs. Hagen on Sunday, congratulate them for their anniversary, 55 years. You'd be here Sunday morning, school the Bible in the 9 o'clock hour, and then, of course, 10 o'clock, power-packed service at 10 a.m., and then Sunday night. So we just love you. We thank God for you. We thank you for coming to church tonight, and we know that the hand and blessing of God is upon you. All right. Well, I think we are dismissed. You are dismissed. We'll see you on Sunday. God bless you, one and all.